Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Madness Basketball Podcast. It is our Christmas edition. Lots of stuff going on. Been with us. We had a couple days that we normally podcast, but we don't. A lot of stuff happened. Let's start off with ESPN got some trouble brewing in their house. And I don't think they care. ESPN got a Shannon Sharp and Kirk Herbstreit problem. And I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. Because Kirk started. He started it and Shannon said he was going to finish. Hang on one second. Let me turn the TV down or something. Sorry, trying to keep up on the bowls. Listen, Kirk went too far when he said lunatic fringe. And then later on, he came back and said, first take tried to fire Ryan Day. So basically, you call in a Hall of Famer with a gold jacket, a renowned journalist, the lunatic friends, and thought that was going to be okay. And you thought everything was going to be cool when you went back to work. I mean, for everybody that's out there, it's easier to send an email and CC it and say per my last email and act like nothing was going to happen. Anytime you say per my last email, it's going to be some smoke. It is 100% going to be some smoke. And we all been in that situation, because I know I've been in that situation. One good time. Nobody wants to be thrown under the bus.
Were they wrong in saying that Ryan Day is going to get ran out of town? No. And if you had any understanding about the rivalry between Ohio State and that team up north, then you will know that outside of winning, you have to either win a national championship or you have to beat Michigan. If you can't do either of those things, you won't last. And what hasn't he done? Where's my national championship? Where's my win over Michigan? Is we going on year four, right? This is year four. He is winless against Michigan. If you cannot beat the team up north, they will run you out of town, especially if you not win the national championship. That could be that would be your saving grace if you could somehow bounce back and win the national championship. But those are the determining factors of who gets to run the show at the shoe. And right now, Ryan Day is losing that battle. No matter the success of the team, I don't care how many numbers they put up, if you can't beat the team up north, you're not going to last. That is one of the oldest and one of the most heated rivalries of all sports. Not just college football. This is probably the most heated rivalry in all of sports. I don't know another rivalry that incites so much violence, animosity, and pure hatred. They hate them. You can tell in the game, there's a reason those games be low scoring. It's because the defense is taking up to another notch. There is another level of physicality that those games are played with. And it always comes down to who's ever able to control the line of scrimmage, because it's gonna be a dogfight. So going into that game every year is who can control the line of scrimmage. And Michigan has always been known to have some hogs up there. Ohio State has some hogs. So it's going to come down to sheer willpower. The better team doesn't always win that game. We've seen it this year. Ohio State clearly is a better team than Michigan. But what happened in that game? The better team aspect was eliminated. Now we playing with heart. We playing with pure, pure hatred, malice in my heart on that field.
So I'm going to ask the question because we here. And we'll talk about some heated rivalries, some other heated rivalries, because we got two in Florida that's insane. But if Ryan Day wins the national champion, by the way, we ignore Oregon. We'll get to that in a minute. If he wins the national championship, comes back next year, and loses to Michigan again with a $10 million quarterback, do you think he's going to survive?
Well, Michigan got a $12 million quarterback.
That's what I mean. It's 12? Oh, God. Michigan quarterback that didn't pay $12 million. If Ohio State lose to Michigan again next year, do you think he keeps his job?
If they are able to win a national championship this year, his job is safe for at least another two. You cannot fire a coach the year after winning a national championship. I don't know if it's like an unwritten rule, but that would be that would be very irresponsible on their part if they fail, if they fired him the next season just for not winning one game. I understand the value of that game. Don't get me wrong. But if he doesn't win the national championship this year, he comes back and loses to Michigan, he might not coach the playoff game. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, the line is going to get drawn. You haven't beat Michigan. Where's my national championship? Give me something. Because Ohio State has this prestige that they are going to, that they can win. They have a chance to win every year. So if we can't win with you, then we'll win with somebody else. Yep. They fired good coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. That's the thing. They don't have long tenure coaches at Ohio State, because if you go on a run where you don't beat Michigan, guess what? Y'all have a job. If you go on a run and you're not winning national championships, we're not competing for national championships, you are gone. That is the standard. And you have to know that going in. That's why that focus be on the Michigan game. That's why the focus be on getting to the college football playoffs. Because that is the standard. That's not a want. It's not a need. It is a standard. When you don't abide by standards, you got to go. Too many teams are okay with mediocrity, and that's them.
I'm going to say this.
Some of them
I grew up in a state. Is two heated rivals, right? One, I don't think is as much hate and bitter vitriol as, say, a Texas A&M or Texas Oklahoma, because it's a HBCU rivalry, and there is still mutual, I want you to get home safe type of respect. Them Bootskins, I'm not saying I want anything bad to happen in the Bootskins that I know, because there's some nice Bootskins out there. Mark, depending on the day of the week, I might wish Mark happy anniversary. Mark is a nice gator for the most part. However, there's some other Bootskins. I hope they stub their toe every single day of the week. I don't want nothing good to happen for them people. That's a heated rivalry. Now, is there going to be fights? I mean, yes. You're stomping on logos. You want to plant flags. Probably going to be a fight. And all this tough talk from last year's game, I don't care about that. You should have fought in the game. Shouldn't have lost the game. And I, unfortunately, have a coach who was in a situation where he's removed a lot of his former staff, brought in new staff. They've signed some great recruits. I don't know how I feel about it. We're going to see. They've signed some great recruits, but TP, I got to be real with you. You went 2-10. You got to make the playoffs next year. All these people talking about 7. No, ain't no 7-5. You got to make the playoffs. Period. You getting paid way too much money to be like, oh, he went 7-5. No, you don't get to go 7-5. You have 3 losing seasons in 5 years. And to be honest with you, looking at some, we have an offensive line on paper, right? On paper, we have an offensive line. You do understand. And I know I just hijacked this and made this about Florida State, but you do understand all them recruits, all them, we got a 6'6", 320-pound offensive tackle. I'm finna start telling lies in a couple weeks. I'm finna too. And if I'm telling lies and you're not winning games again, nah, but you gotta go. So I can't imagine what Ohio State fans are feeling when the school up north, as they say, is spending millions of dollars. Like, I'm sure by the time this time next year, they're going to easily be in $30 million in NIL money on talent. And you know Ohio State trying to match that.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose to Michigan again, and y'all ain't got to worry about people on ESPN running them out of town. That's what the alumni for. We are now...
And I don't know why they even think that First Take has anything to do with him getting ran out of town. Look no further than the athletic director. Like I said, the standard is beating Michigan. If you cannot abide by the standard, then your job is going to be up for question. That's the bottom line. When you sign a contract with Ohio State, there's a clause in there say if you cannot beat the school up north, you will be terminated.
For real. it's so simple. And for them, for Kirk to go on Pat McAfee and say what the AD said and yada, yada, yada. You know what the kiss of death for a coach is? That vote of confidence. If the AD give you a vote of confidence, just quit because you're getting fired. You get in fight. They do like Wake Forest coach did. Just step down. You know what? This ain't for me. I'm out. Because you're going to get fired. You ain't got – because at some point, the AD going to get tired of big money donors and big money boosters calling his office. And Ohio State got big money alumni boosters and donors. They don't just donate to the athletic program. They donate to the whole university. So not only do the AD hear it, the president hear it, the research people, staff members just trying to raise money, the fundraisers, they're hearing it. At some point, there's going to be a line at the AD office going, look, we can't raise money for research. We can't raise money for scholarships because this coach is in the way. What you think going to happen? Out of there. So, we're in a new era. We are in absolutely a new era. And a lot of people are shocked. Like, somebody posted that Duke don't have $8 million to give to a quarterback. Duke still got their lunch money from the fifth grade. What is you talking about?
Coach Duke K got- has made sure that they will never be broke.
What Puffy said, still spending old money. Duke can't spend the old money.
Like, when we talk about, you know, sports, college level, who is the most iconic college basketball program? It's Duke. And is that because of Coach K and the success he's had for decades? You think they ain't got money? You don't think that the money generated is spread throughout the athletics? That's how it works. When a school does very well at one sport, it benefits all other sports. It benefits all other coaches because that is more revenue generated for said school. Because we all know media rights is the driving force behind a lot of the decisions schools make. Who was on TV more than the Duke basketball team? Nobody. There is not a more televised college basketball program, men or women's, than Duke. Even when Caitlin had her run last year, Duke was still primetime TV.
Exactly.
So Duke gonna pay whoever they want to pay. You know, they feel confident with the roster that they've built. I get it, Malik Murphy is leaving, but hey, one apple fall from the tree, another one grow in its place. There has to be a next man up mentality. Shadur is leaving Colorado. Hey, they got two quarterbacks. They got one that's, they got a veteran and they got a freshman. So the better player will play, as it should be. We don't do that in Texas. You know, we got loyalties. But I'll get to that later.
You know what? I'm gonna let you get this off your chest. I want you to hear me out for a second. Just hear me out for a second. Okay. So it's late in the season. You're in the playoffs. Is now the time to switch to the heir apparent?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Well, let me sit up in my chair because this isn't a simple answer. Hold on. You know, this is the hear me out section, right? This is the hear me out section. So, no, it's not as simple as playing out Arch in. It's not that simple. It has never been that simple. What we have is a luxury that we choose not to explore. This is like having a hot tub in your backyard and you don't never go lay in. You might turn it on because it looked good, but then we're going to turn it right back off. You know what I'm saying? I have it, and I'm going to say I have it, but I'm not going to use it. Quinn has not done the things necessary to win us a championship. And I'm talking i.e. conference championship in the SEC or national championship. What has happened is he gets to the red zone and the game plan boggles down, a key on the pass, and mistakes happen. He has historically been bad in the red zone. This is a fact. But also, when we look at what we have sitting on the bench, is we have a dual threat quarterback who can still run a lot of Quinn's plays. For us to truly get to our pinnacle, we have to utilize the talents of both quarterbacks. Because if you just take Arch out, I mean, if you just take Quinn out and you put Arch in there, he is still limited on the amount of plays that he can run is within Sark's offense. His offense is actually complicated. And a lot of the passing trees that they run are complicated to the point where Arch just hasn't learned them fully. Quinn understands the offense. He does a very good job at orchestrating the offense. My issue has always been with him is the fact that we don't take care of the ball in the red zone. You can drive up and down the field, but we get inside the 20 and mistakes happen. What can we do to alleviate that? We can run the fucking ball. Sorry for my language. We can run the football, which we did against Clemson to the tune of almost 300 yards. But are we going to be able to have that same success against every team going forward? We know Arizona State is a good team. Can we play the same way that we did against Clemson and still beat Arizona State? I don't think so. Bring Arch in more than three plays a game. The move has to be to where the offense utilizes both quarterbacks, because Arch is too good not to play. I get that we look at the quarterback position as, oh, he's the one taking all the snaps all game, every game. Throw that mindset away. We in 2024. There has to be a maturity level that goes along with playing the position and understanding that this guy might have a skill set that you don't have. And if we're going to utilize that to win games, you're still the starting quarterback. You're still the guy that's supposed to lead this team. But we have to utilize all talents. Because if you bring Arch in, don't just bring him in to run read option either. You bring him in and you let him run some of Quinn plays. Then you bring Quinn back in and you let him run some of Arch's plays. But it has to be intentional, not reactive, not out of desperation, not because Quinn has thrown three picks in the first quarter. It has to be intentional, the game plan. You know, and I don't want to sit here and act like I'm a better game planner than Steve Sarkisian, because he's been a great coach for a long time. He's been an offensive guru. But we haven't been intentional with our use of Arch Manning. That's all I'm saying. The defense has played lights out. Shout out to my boy Jahdae Barron, this year's Thorpe Award winner, best defensive back in the country. He earned that award. And I'm glad they didn't steal it from him and give it to Travis Hunter, with the amazing things he's done. But no, Jahdae Barron has 100% been the best defensive back in college football. Go look at the tape. There's a reason we had the second best points against average for the whole season. There's a reason Texas has dominated almost every game. The only team that's beat us this year is Georgia. We lost two games. They were both to Georgia. Could have won both, you know, but things don't always happen the way that you want them to. But you live, and we're alive right now. Our dream of winning the national championship has not faded. If anything, has done nothing more than been excited. Arizona State, Oregon, Ohio State.
I got it.
I want another match with Georgia. I want to see Georgia at the end. Give me Georgia one more time. You beat us three times. You got it. You got it, Kirby. But Jane, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. But to answer your original question, no. We're not waving the white flag and just taking Quinn out and bringing in Arch. It's not that bad. You see what I'm saying? It's not that bad. He does a good job. Don't blow the offense up on a wimp and a dream. But it does have to be intentional with our use.
All right. So I had a feeling you needed to get that off your chest.
Yeah, it was in there.
All right. So
my dogs, though. Hey. Hook them horns, baby. Let Bevo travel to Atlanta. Stop fucking playing.
No. We don't. Man, do you know how many people came down on me by Bevo being on the sideline? Shout out to Keisha Kelly. Keisha Kelly is not a large woman, and I understand her trepidation about being on the sideline with a steer 2,000 pounds on the sideline. Now, again, I'm going to state this. In all of Georgia, y'all ain't got nothing that can hold that steer in during the game. That's all I'm saying. Right, wrong, and indifferent. That's all I'm saying. Feel like Bevo can be on the sideline. But, hey,
sideline.
It is what it is. But we don't normally do this segment on this podcast because this is a basketball podcast. However, there's been some word on the street in HBCU land, and most definitely we got to have the disrespect segment.
The disrespect.
Who is the disrespect directed towards?
So, word on the street, and by street I mean Twitter, is that Alabama A&M has either A, been in communication with to interview or have already interviewed Ed Reed. And I keep asking this question. If a dude was at another institution, the ink was never dry on his contract and he got fired on his day off, why is he getting another opportunity? Because he's a celebrity coach? Because y'all want to recreate that thing in Jackson State? If the man wanted a job, he wouldn't have went live to disparage his employer multiple times. In no other industry in the history of the world can you get on social media and talk about your job and your boss. Where else you get to do that at? You don't get to go, you don't get to work with Citibank until the whole world Citibank is scamming everybody multiple times. And then get a job at Chase Manhattan. That ain't how that work. You generally have to like work your way back up. Because you were, first off, let's call a spade a spade. He was given an opportunity that coaches who had worked very hard to get to that point were never given. Never given. And because what? Because his name and recognition might bring some money. There are people who every day go out and get money for universities. Every day they go out and it may be $1,000 on Monday, it may be $50,000 on Tuesday. Hell, Tuskegee just got $1 million donation, anonymous donation. So there are people that go out and fundraise every day. Should we make them the head coach? Is that what we're talking about now? Should we make them the head coach? Because there is no resume reason, and I want to be clear, there's nothing on his resume that says, oh my God, he's going to come into Alabama A&M and make them a winner immediately. Now, Alabama A&M has some pretty good facilities, so that's helpful. But him snapping his fingers and, oh, we're going to go to the Celebration Bowl, that don't happen much. And in the time that it did with the celebrity coach, remember, both times, the first time he got ran out the building, it was ugly. The second time he got whooped when he should have won. Just because you're a celebrity coach don't mean that's going to be everything. It don't. Ed Reed. If y'all love Ed Reed so much, why don't y'all ask the very simple question? If he's such an incredible coaching opportunity or a coaching candidate, why them Ibis people ain't pick up the phone and call him? Because they really need somebody right now.
He ain't at that level. He ain't at that level yet.
And then I will say this. If he's not...
Because the same, you know, was said about Deion. You know?
Deion so coached at some level. This dude has never coached at any level. He's been an advisor at UM.
Yeah. I understand that part.
Man, it smells so good in here, TP. You just don't know this food smell. But it, and as a football player, he is a Hall of Famer. He wears a gold jacket. I'm sure he has knowledge through the nose. But the difference between him, because I know a lot of people want to make this, make these comparisons, the difference between him and Mike Vick, Mike Vick never had an opportunity and blew it. Mm-hmm. Mike Vick, who, from everything we see outside, is gracious, is humble, like everything we want in a leader of men, that's Mike Vick. He put it on display.
So this opportunity in Norfolk State is going to say a lot because if he's able to win, Hokie Nation, do y'all ever want to be back on top of the ACC? Because this is how it starts, you know, and we know that Vic loves Virginia Tech, just like Virginia Tech loves Michael Vick. But can he coach? His number is one of the few retired at that school. That school doesn't have a lot of retired numbers. Michael Vick's number is retired. No one in the history of Virginia Tech will wear the number 7. That is done.
You just opening up cans and not on TV.
But am I like you're saying, Ed Reed has never coached before. Sometimes you do get opportunity to start off as a head coach. We've seen it with some of these younger coaches in the NFL. We've seen it with coaches in the NBA. They never coached before. Steve Nash was coaching female Little League soccer and got a head coaching job in the NBA. Ed Spoelstra was running analytics before he got his head coaching job. So are you able to lead and can you manage a team? Those are the two biggest criteria that you need to be a coach. Can you do one or both of those things? And if he gets the opportunity at Alabama State, who had all these high hopes, they was talking cash shit all last summer. Can he write that shit? Because you're not just coming in to fix a program. You're coming in to win. Alabama A&M expects to win. This isn't a rebuild. And I would hope that he would understand that going in.
I want to say this because if Ed Reed gets this job, I don't want to seem like that I'm anti a black coach. That's not what this is. That is definitely not what this is. This is, we see, like, the Black Coaches of America posted this weekend about the D2 championships and having a black coach in the D2 championships. There are coaches who are working their way up from NIA, Division II, you know, Division FCS, HBCU. They're working their way up, and they don't get a chance to get in line because there are people who are perceived because of their celebrity. Not their football acumen, but their football coaching acumen is in question. So it's not that I don't like Avery, but the fact that he's an Ibis is just, you know, comic relief, part of our sketch sports comedy. We have so many people about the purity of the game. Well, I was told that this is a meritocracy. And if you're awarding people jobs because of profile, that meritocracy kind of goes out the window. And then it trickles down into, well, now you're asking players to earn everything that they get, but your head man has not earned his weight. So it's a complicated situation. Again, it's not that I don't like Ed Reed personally. He's just an ibis. That has nothing to do with how I feel about him as a head coach of an HBCU. I feel like, in reverse, because of his opportunity that he had at BCU, that he blew in a fantastic fashion, he should go to a non-HBCU, earn his stripes, and come back. So that way he has, hey, man, I got something on the resume. I got some cash in the bank. You know, here's my integrity, my ethics, all of that before he goes to HBCU. Because, money, you blew that. And you blew that at a school that desperately needed some infusion of swagger, if you will. So that's my only thing with Ed Reed. Outside of that, I mean, if you get a job, great. Absolutely great. I just, it makes me question all the things that people tell about me. And again, I'm going to take this moment to pass on the opportunity to take a shot at JJ Redick. And TP served it up time and time again. And I let that pass because I'm becoming a better person. I'm better than I was yesterday. But speaking of the Lakers, a little while ago, we kept saying that at some point, LeBron is going to keep playing and it's going to tarnish his legacy. And I don't mean tarnish the championship. I'm talking about, y'all can say what you want about these triple-doubles. The LeBron that used to be able to control the outcome of a game, it's not that same guy. He not. Them plus-minus numbers looking real different than they were a couple seasons ago. And I ain't saying JJ is the issue, but them numbers wasn't bad when Darvin Ham was there. Them plus-minus numbers look good. JJ is there, pretty much the whole team is intact because what can they do? They cash strapped. And they took some of their assets and they drafted players that aren't on the team. So what can they do? At some point, your head coach got to coach his way out this end. All that stuff y'all told me over the summer about JJ's brilliant mind and how Gilbert Arenas talking about, well, JJ had conversations with Coach K. I have had conversations with Reggie Theus. Does that mean I can go out there and coach a men's college basketball team? No. I'm not saying he's failing on a Steve Nash level, but he might be a couple levels below. Right now they're in seven. They make the play-in again. You did all of that to make the play-in. You fired your head coach. You brought in a dude off the street from a podcast. And listen, if y'all want to bring another dude from a podcast in Florida, I'm cool with it. Sign me up. I'm just, you know, podcasters getting jobs as head coaches is crazy. But, again, JJ got to right the ship. Because this ain't Milwaukee. This ain't Cleveland. It's L.A. And L.A. ain't going to keep tolerating you failing miserably. Not how that works. And LeBron James ain't going to keep tolerating you failing miserably. He already in that hole, like, I do what the coach say. Couldn't be me. I couldn't be JJ.
that the way the season started, it looked very promising, right? They're running plays. The team is meshing well. You know, did they hit a wall? I think we have to ask the right question if we want to find the right answer. Because you can find a answer. But if you're not asking the right question, you won't get to the right answer. Is LeBron getting too old? Is JJ Redick in over his head as a head coach? Is this roster built to win? You see what I'm saying? These are all different questions that all have different answers. But what is the right answer? And how can we get to the right question?
So I'm gonna keep it a buck with you before we move on from this. I am enjoying watching this entire thing play out because we kind of had an idea that it was going to play out like this. Because again, coaches with resumes in coaching, and I know nobody likes to talk about recycled coaches and, oh, there's no fresh blood. There is fresh blood. Just people aren't willing to take a chance on the fresh blood that have been coaching. And when we say fresh blood, we're talking about coaches who've been coaching. Like, why does not Sam Cassell doesn't have a head coaching job? Why is that even a thing?
Why is it a thing?
So when we see this, we pay attention to history. We know enough.
So
we absolutely know and go, hey,
you know, apologies. The way this year started, you were worried. And for good reason about your New York basketball Knicks. How do you feel now?
I'm ready to tell some lies. I'm ready to tell some lies. I'm ready to tell everybody that I believe in the Big Cat leading the league in rebounds. I'm ready to tell all them lies.
Is he not getting on the boards? Is he not on the boards?
He's getting on the boards. He's occasionally shooting threes. He's getting buckets. Hey,
I think this is all we've ever asked from Big Cat. Get your big behind in the paint. Thibodeau, thank you. Because we've always known him to be a defensive guru as far as putting pressure on other teams. Forcing bad shots, dominating in the paint. That's the Tom Thibodeau team. He did it with Joakim Noah up in Chicago. Somebody who probably wouldn't even start on any other team. Oh, let me guess. He didn't start on any other team. But for Tom Thibodeau, he was somebody that can be used. He's basically putting Big Cat in the same type of situations that he had Joakim in. And it's up to you to get the rebound. You 7 feet. Go get it. You're athletic. Go get the ball. Want to. Dennis Rodman always preached that rebounding didn't take the most athletic person. It didn't take the biggest person. It took the most want to. And Tom Thibodeau has, you know, finessed that into Big Cat. And now he's on the board.
TP, not only that, we second in the league in scoring. We putting up threes at an astronomical number, and they going in. I can't be more happy. I feel like we're going to the chip. I'm ready to tell lies, TP.
I guess I asked for that overreaction.
I watched the game the other night. And while I'm watching the game, I'm like, okay, so just to get my mind straight, what are the other centers in the league like? Like, how does he stack up against the centers, the rest of the centers in the league? Outside of Jokic, he's number two.
And I give credit where credit is due, and I'll give people their flowers when they deserve them.
And I had my issues with Josh Hart. I had my issues with OG Anunoby, and they all stepping up.
Josh Hart is on the offensive side of the ball making plays. Where last year we saw him, you know, defer to Brunson, Demichenko, and Obinobi. You know, he would defer to those guys. He'll take his shots here and there. He had some games where he was just feeling it, and it was fun to watch. When Josh Hart is on, Knicks go. I think that is one of those things where when you look at the way a team is built, yeah, we know Brunson can score. We know Obinobi can score. We know Big Cat can score. What happens when you get four people on the offensive side of the ball that can put 20 a night on any given night? Puts a lot of pressure on the defense. Now you're over-rotating. You're over-committing to one player, leaving somebody else open for a shot because you got to respect it. When you got to make them respect you, you don't win because people like you. This is a lesson in life, people. I'm teaching y'all something right now. You get the notepads out. You can't go through life wondering if people like you. It ain't about being liked. It's about being respected in any sport. Basketball is one of those sports where if they don't respect you, they leave them open. You out there looking crazy. Now your confidence low. Because they don't like me. They don't respect me. You're lost. But when you are somebody to be respected / feared, it puts a lot of pressure on everything else around you. Because now they have to focus. And it's
Mikal Bridges is averaging 17 points a game. OG Anunoby is averaging 17. Josh Hart, 14. Miles McBride is averaging 10 points a game. I want to know.
And what's Brunson 23 or 24?
Yeah, he's averaging 24 points. Brunson and Towns both averaging 24 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they play defense. It's a problem.
A Tom Thibodeau coach team has always played defense, though.
And I told you I'm ready to tell lies, TP. I'm ready. We went from fifth to now we third behind the Boston Celtics. And quite frankly, at this point, I feel like we're a good matchup against Boston.
Yeah. I would say the matchup isn't as big of a disparity as there was last year. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's because of OG being healthy allows us to
derail y'all season. When OG went down, I had no hope for the Knicks. It was over. Y'all didn't match up against anybody with him not on the court. I don't care how many threes Demichenko put up.
It got ugly. But again, a healthy OG.
What about Cleveland?
Here's my issue with Cleveland. Here's the reason I believe we can beat Cleveland. Because we have a small, big backcourt, I feel like we could put them in pick and roll situations and dominate them. Now, the problem with that is that Cleveland is going to score points. they ain't gonna do nothing else but score points. Can we make them get put them in a position where they have to get stops to beat us? I think we can, but that is going to require, here it is again, Josh Hart is going to have to be the fourth scorer and make them guard him. If Josh Hart does that, it's over. It is over. Because everybody else, except everybody else, kind of watches out. Like, Big Cat dominates. The back quarter of Cleveland is going to get their points. So, you know, that's two scores for two scores. OG, if he gives us points, great. But I'm more concerned with him playing defense. And then Josh Hart gives us points. That's ball game. That's again, and Mikal Bridges. I keep forgetting about him. Mikal Bridges. Like, it's a lot of points. But again, we gotta get mentally tough. We gotta stop letting bum teams like the Orlando Magic beat us, and get out there and play like we know how to play. But I'm stop telling my lies now. For right now. Let us get to number two. Whew, these lies are gonna come. So some old word on the street. The Pelicans are looking to break up their core, and they're looking to ship Zion. Who is picking up Zion? Because I saw somebody post that Zion is on the verge of being the biggest bust since Ogden. Greg Oden, I'm sorry. And Greg Oden was injured. And the person.
Somebody said don't compare him to Greg Oden. Greg Oden was injured. He just out of shape.
Yes. That was the comment. I was like, oh God.
You was like, but they get mad at me when I say it.
Because when I say it, I'm fat shame.
Right.
I'm like, I'm okay. I'm fat shaming a dude that's supposed to be in he gets paid to be in shape, to be in tip top physical condition.
It's all right when they do it. It's a problem when I do it.
I do it. And you can be mad, but let's just call a spade a spade. That draft pick, if you switch that draft pick with Ja Morant, right? And Ja had his issues off the court or whatever. But it was never a he's in physical shape issue, right? So if you switch them two picks, the Pelicans look vastly different than they do now. That pick set their franchise back. Not because of coaching, not because of, like, it's simply a dude is not in shape. We are in year what? He going on year 3, 4? And we're having hamstring issues. Like, come on, man.
I feel bad for the city of New Orleans in this because y'all won. Anthony Davis trade, they won. The amount of picks and talent that they were able to acquire by letting one person go who wasn't always on the court anyway should have set them up to build a championship team. We should be talking about New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, New Orleans Hornets. No, it is Pelicans, my bad. New Orleans Pelicans as a championship contender. Sorry, they switch names so many times, I get confused. But they are the Pelicans. They are the Pelicans. They are their own franchise. But that number one overall pick, Ja Morant was the better player, even in college. The impact that he had on his team was greater than the impact Zion had on his team. The ceiling for Zion was just higher because of his size.
Go ahead, TP.
Because the athletic ability that he had if managed properly, could have been generational. Ja Morant is generational, don't get me wrong. But a 6'6 guy that can shoot, handle, rebound, and defend. So we're talking about all phases of the game. He would have been generational. We would have been talking about him like we talked about LeBron. That's what the dream for them was. But his own personal camp, himself, are to blame for the missteps that have occurred over the early portion of his career. It's not over, but it has not been a very smooth ride from inception. And a lot of that has to do with self.
If in all of this, that's what's happening in the sports social media world, is an example. This is an example of how bad it can go. So you know what? It's time for another one. You know what, TP? It's time. Like, we got another hit me up. We just gotta do it again. Zion's greatest contribution to sports has been his affinity to chase behind porn stars. That is all that he's offered in the last 2 years. In 30 games, the Pelicans are 5-25. They have actual season ticket holders who have only, I don't even know if all these games are home games, have only seen them win 5 games. But coming into this season, the stink was just getting off of Zion behind that whole porn star fiasco. And everybody tried to tell him, hey, you don't need to be doing this. This is causing a problem. This is a brand problem. Yada, 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 yada. All of that was told to him. Now he on the trade block. And you wonder why I bring up his off-the-court issues. Because you can only have so many off-court issues to where they start to affect you on the court. And there's a young man right now. Excuse me. There's a young man right now that has won an amazing award that is probably going through the worst time of his life. And there's people out there making sure it gets worse on a daily basis. And the problem is, and I'm saying this as a parent, you can tell young people, hey, you got a problem on your hands. You need to deal with it. Or it's going to be a bigger problem. And when I tell you, TP, it's so bad right now. Like, it's bad, bad. And then you got seasoned veterans who have significant others on jail video talking about their situation. It's at some point, as Jay-Z said, you got to realize I'm a business man. You change. You are getting generational money. And you're about to blow it for a moment in time. And the people around you, this ain't like you blowing $50,000 because you chasing the girl that said you was cute in high school. You blowing generational wealth that your grandkids won't have to work. And telling people that this is my life, y'all don't know what y'all talking about. That means that your support system failed you before you ever got money. You're not listening, and you letting the world know you're not listening. So now we're looking at your support system differently. Your PR firm is losing their mind. And the only reason they ain't dropped you is because you haven't lost an endorsement yet. But you start losing the endorsements, your PR firm, your management going to drop you. And then it's going to get real dark. So, but I'm just, I want the young men to do better. I want them to do well. But the off the court decisions is going to cost you. So. But again, my New York Knicks, we're looking up. We're looking up. All right, TP. We haven't really talked about HBCU basketball because a lot of teams stopped play over the weekend. They will go back into play after the holidays. Florida A&M Women's ended up on a high note. They got a win before the holidays. Shout out to Coach Pressure. That was amazing. Also, it needs to be said, because we seen y'all women swooning over Mike Vick with all his pictures of his family and everything when he was announced head coach of Norfolk State. Please understand, when a women's basketball coach get announced and us men in sports media start swooning, we don't want to hear nothing, because I'm waiting on Tina Thompson to get a job. I'm putting the name out there. If you need you a coach, go get Tina Thompson. I will be the front row. Ready for the first question for Fat Mouse Sports. I'm going to be very professional, but I'm going to make sure y'all see all us swoon over Tina Thompson. I don't know why I picked her out of all the candidates, but if I'm not mistaken, I think she's coaching at Virginia right now, assistant coach at Virginia. So, shout out to Tina Thompson. Amazing WNBA player. I think she'll be a great asset for a school that is looking for a head coach. That being said, I'm gonna take a quick commercial, and then we're gonna come back.
Yeah. You know, fuck what y'all say. I earned parole, damn it. I ain't gotta be no Bucks fan no more. I had my hearing.
Keyword, no more. Yeah, we faithful around here. We don't care where we stay at. We rock with one team only.
don't worry, Raiders. He ain't gonna be a fan of y'all soon. He gonna chuck shit for y'all soon.
Yeah, we ain't finna do that. Listen.
Again, I feel like I had to post that because, you know, I'd be getting clowned because I don't follow my team into the deep end. So over the weekend, TP, something very bad happened for the Raiders. We won a game and dropped 6 spots in the draft. Somebody got to get fired. I know I wasn't at.
To be fair, that was a bad team y'all played against. That was two bad teams doing bad things, and nobody would have thought that scoring with 13 minutes left in the game meant that the game was over. Y'all only had a 2-point lead at that point. Mm-hmm. And they didn't score the rest of the game. Couldn't even keep a field goal.
I was at one point rooting for the Jaguars. Because I knew I thought we was gonna just fall like a couple spots. I didn't think we was gonna fall 6. 6.
I mean, the season ain't over. All of those teams that are above y'all can win, and, you know, they can lose out. But Raiders, if y'all go and win 2 more games and drop out of the top 10, I will be laughing all the way until y'all be in the top 10 again next year, because let's be honest, and I said this in the summer, the Raiders were the worst team in that division. I told you the Broncos would be a playoff contender, and you laughed at me. You didn't believe in Bo Nix. You didn't think they had a chance. Look at them now. You thought with John Harbaugh going to Los Angeles, it was going to be a dumpster fire. Look at them now. This is a division with 3 teams with winning records, and a team that, no hope in sight. The question will always remain, though: who is the best quarterback coming out?
We're not gonna get to that part yet, TB, because here's my problem.
But that's why you want the number one pick. Who do you want as the Raiders quarterback?
I can't even get to that, TP, because we play the Saints. And we play after them.
Another decently bad team.
And then we play. Then we turn around. we can beat Spencer Rattler. That's the problem. And then, I hope y'all don't listen. I don't want my team to lose. I need my team to lose for the future. Then we play the Chargers, which we probably will lose.
That will be a loss.
But if we beat the Saints, oh my God. If we beat the Saints, right? That'll put us at 4-12, right? The race to the bottom is on, but because of, I think, points forced and points allowed, we are at, we are 6. All right, yeah, we're at 6. We're at 6. So Cleveland is in front of us. The Jags are in front of us. Tennessee is in front of us. New England and New York. Looking at New York's schedule. Is that it for New York? Oh, that might be it for New York. Okay, New York. New York has the Colts, which they have no chance of winning, and they have the Giants. So they got number one pick locked up. That's locked up. Right. Tennessee final games. Tennessee plays the Jaguars again, putting us further behind. And they play the Texans. So again, we might be stuck. We might get to 5, but is Shador or Cam going to slide to 5? I don't, under no circumstances, do I want Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers. I don't want either one of them. Under no circumstances.
Here's a crazy option. And I just thought about it like on the whim, which probably won't happen. You know, things like this don't happen. But Sam Darnold wins the Super Bowl. Does he remain the quarterback of Minnesota next year? What would be crazy if they traded J.J. McCarthy to the Raiders for their top 10 draft pick?
And I don't want J.J. Give me Carson. Keep J.J. If his Carson coach... Beck.
You believe in Carson Beck? I don't.
I'm sorry. Not Carson. Arnold. Minnesota's quarterback. Give me Minnesota's star quarterback. Yeah, give me Darnold.
You're gonna get your best, Darnold. I promise you. I've seen Darnold play on bad teams. It don't look good. If Sam Darnold ain't got everything around him to be successful, he won't be successful. He won't lead the team by himself. Look, when Justin Jefferson didn't play, he looked very mediocre.
We will get him. We need to get him a number one because we got a number two. I'm believing in Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Myers.
Jefferson is looking like if he continues at this pace, he'll go down as one of the top three wide receivers of all time. I know it's early in his career, but this man is playing on a different level than any wide receiver we've seen since Calvin Johnson.
Did they give him an extension?
Calvin Johnson, you know, and I use Calvin Johnson as the, you know, the latest great wide receiver. You know, when we talk about that Mount Rushmore of receivers. Justin Jefferson is going to, if he continues at this pace, playing at this level, he will make a case for himself to be on that Mount Rushmore of wide receivers. Sam Darnold, without him, is a middle to low tier quarterback. With him, he looks like he can go take on the world. I don't think Sam Darnold would be the answer to the Raiders' prayers because y'all don't have what he would need to be successful.
If we're number 13, I'm sorry, if we're number 6 in the draft, there isn't a quarterback in that draft. This draft isn't quarterback rich. It's just not.
It's not, but there's a hidden gem in there somewhere. You just got to find it. Is it Cam Ward? Is it Shador? Is it Beck? Who out of those three quarterbacks is going to get to the NFL and play at a high level? I had good words to say about Bo Nix. I thought Bo Nix was probably the most ready quarterback of all the quarterbacks coming into this draft. Michael Penix coming off of the injuries. You know, he bounced back, led his team to a national championship game where they end up losing. But he showed the ability to be successful at the next level. You know who didn't? Caleb Williams. I didn't like what I saw from Caleb in college. And his numbers aren't bad. His numbers aren't bad. The Chicago Bears have just historically been bad with quarterbacks. This goes back decades.
You know what, TP? No, we're not going to get Chicago. We're not going to let them off the hook because all we heard was this quarterback was
set up to win. If anything, I'm blaming more of the organization, but I did not see the mental tangibles in Caleb to go to Chicago and be successful. I didn't think he was the right fit for that team. I think wherever Jaden Daniels would have went, he would have been successful. He just don't know how to slot. I said it the whole time. I said the right person won the Heisman last year. I said it after the Heisman ceremony. I said it leading up to the draft. I said, what's going to happen this year is going to be the exact same thing as last year when Bryce Young got drafted before C.J. Stroud. The better quarterback will be picked second. I said it 1,000 times. Washington has 10 wins. The Bears have 4. Point proven. Again, TP don't miss on quarterbacks. Well, I will let you know. I will let everybody know by February who I think will be the best quarterback in this draft. And let's see if I can go 3 for 3.
Well, the Raiders going to need your expertise because.
Yeah, they do. Shit, I ain't been wrong. I have not been wrong.
We need a quarterback. Like,
y'all we need a quarterback. I'll get you the right guy.
We need a quarterback so bad. But
when I start being wrong, then I lose my credibility. But until then, TP is right.
We're gonna take a quick little break and then we'll be right back.
Yeah, the Glasper kid is the truth. The one thing, I'll preface this by saying that, you know, A&T's had some really rough spots this year. You know, injuries really hurt them a lot. But the bright spot for that squad this year has been that backcourt and Glasper. I'll be honest, man. To me, he's one of the more prolific scorers in that conference, and he's proven to be a really, really good offensive, you know, weapon for them, not just in the CAA, but just in mid-major basketball. If you watch his game, he can score at all three levels. He's extremely hard to stay in front of for guards. He can pretty much get into the lane whenever he wants to. You know, he really puts pressure on bigger guards that have to guard him. Smaller guards, there's not much of a difference there, primarily because his perimeter game in terms of his shooting is really effective, and it keeps defenses off balance. So, you know, from what I've seen of him and his backcourt mate, the name of the backcourt mate, you know, kind of escapes me right now. But, you know, that tandem has been extremely effective in CAA play. It's literally been the difference between, them having a really miserable record going to CAA play and them being where they're at, which is 4-2. I think ultimately, Coach Woods landing that guy was something that I personally didn't foresee. But at the same time, he's doing a quality job getting kids there to buy in to what he's trying to do. So you can see it.
That was Herb Seward III. You can check him out on FanSided. He writes an article for both HBCU basketball and he also covers the University of Maryland. So TP, reoccurring theme recently is what's hurting basketball? Is 3-point shooting hurting basketball? Viewership is down. Like, there's a lot of noise about basketball not being what it used to be, and it's not exciting to watch. Me personally, right? There used to be specialists that shoot threes. Now everybody is shooting threes. You got bums going for 50 last year. And when I say bum, let me make sure I clarify because people get offended real easily. If they made it to the NBA, they are part of the greatest selection of basketball players in the world. However, based on NBA standards, they just guys. And those just guys are putting up 50 every now and then. And we like, I don't even know who that dude is. And we trying to figure out where he came from, how he got on the roster. Like, we trying to figure out his whole life story and his one shining moment where he hit 50. And then you look at his line and, oh, he shot lights out from three. This is a problem. But that's, you know, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I could very well be wrong. But if everybody and their mama can shoot a three, and y'all keep telling me this is the most skilled era of basketball era ever, is it though?
Is it though?
I mean, I grew up with Anthony Mason. Big man could do it all. Dribble it. You know it takes skill to be 275, push the rock, do a 360, and then go dunk. That takes talent. But you know, I don't want to be the get off my lawn old guy. It's some good dudes that could have played in any era in this current era. It's also some dudes in this era that could have never played in any era but this one.
So. But I mean, if you can shoot, you can make something happen. You know, at the end of the day, we watch a game that can be dominated at multiple levels, which is why, you know, we love basketball. You can be a great shooter, you can be a great driver, you can be a great assist man. You know, there are ways to dominate the game, and that just has to be something that's intentional. And we're looking at more so the outside of the hand check, right? Because, you know, there's always a lot of talk about you can't touch these guys no more. They shooting 10 to 15 free throws a game, and a lot of them are ticky-tack type fouls. The guys that only make their living at the free throw line would not have made it in the 80s. Because you ain't getting those fouls, sir. You got to earn those. We're not giving you free shots. You know what I'm saying? See what I did there? Free throw? You're not getting those. You're going to have to earn every inch. And it's a lot of crybabies. It's a lot of big crybabies. Embiid. These are the guys that I don't see making it in other eras because the physicality of the game that was played. I don't think being a three-point shooter and that being your primary skill set would eliminate you from playing in any other era, because if you can shoot, you can play.
I watched the NBA, and then this weekend I had the joy to Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers play a top 10 matchup on national TV on Fox. And it was a joy to watch. And that game ends, and now I go watch NBA basketball, and I'm the level of disappointment, TP, that I felt watching the NBA after watching that game. I'm watching Juju do stuff. And hear me out. I am not a fan of step back three. But when Juju just went to the rim four times, and then she come down on the fast break, step back, and shoot a three, I don't have no problem with it. But let it fly. Mm-hmm. It's a heat check. And she put work in. Paige. Like, I was like, oh, man, Paige got to step up, man. And Juju just taking off Paige. And Paige stepped up. When big-time players need to step up, late in games. And Paige stepped up late in the game. Man, these are the superstars we deserve. Not the ones that get pushed on us. These are the superstars we deserve. We earn these superstars. Not the ones we get pushed on. People telling me they're a superstar. No, I seen them. They look like superstars. On and off the court, they look like superstars. And these are the superstars we deserve. Now the NBA, I'm a Knicks fan. I love my Knicks. But again, I go from watching them to watching the NBA. I'm like, something is missing. Something is missing because you got players shooting up heat check shots. Who ain't like that? Oh, real quick, because I know we're running down on time. If y'all have an opportunity, there is a highlight of Jalen Brunson driving to the hole, getting stopped, and passing in the corner for a beautiful three-point shot. That is the beautiful game. That's the beauty of the game. That's why we watch, to see playmakers make plays, not to see Tubby Tubby's step back three. It's not what I'm watching for. I ain't watching. By the way, we need to give James Harden his flowers this season, because minus some help, he is playing well. Oh man, my bad. I forgot. My bad. I just look at these standings real quick. The Clippers are in the sixth position, 17-13.
Rockets are in second, by the way.
I know. I saw that.
I don't know if you knew that.
No. I knew. I just, at some point we're gonna address him being at the Rockets is a win for the Rockets, and it's a win for the Celtics. The Celtics got them a championship out of the deal, and the Rockets have a rising young core of basketball players that look good for the future. I don't believe them or Oklahoma City are going to get it done just yet. I'm sorry. We've seen too many young teams try to go win, and it don't go well. But right now in the season, they look good. And, you know, shout out to your NBA Cup champion, Milwaukee Bucks. Yay. Side note, if your team is raising NBA Cup banners, you got the wrong focus. You focus on the wrong thing. Man, I don't care who don't like it. I'm not excited. I don't like the ugly behind courts. If it takes an NBA Cup to make you play hard, I don't know, man. I don't know. I posted some video clips from the past couple years. Me at Mike from last year, I posted his clip.
I saw that.
Yeah, there was a response that I just was not expecting. Also, Jennifer, which a lot of y'all know her as J-Dot, she is she's a very nice person. Right now on the internet, they're going to call the police on her. Because what she did to me at Mike and his institution was not right. Because, yeah, she actually said, "You don't think I could get into the Wire State University?" That was not right. That was not nice. But again, I mean, the people I associate with online, we had some recruiting win. Deuce was one of the players that we was trying to get in, because Deuce is special. Mob Noel posted a picture of his grandma in a cave and said, she's not getting out to Deuce sign. A few hours later, up under that post, Deuce said, I committed. And then you've seen a picture of Mob Noel grandma out the cage. I don't want to be the University of Elder Abuse. Can we stop this, please? Like, this is not it's not right. But you know, not to be outdone, the bootskins trying to copy it. It ain't gonna work for y'all. Y'all don't got juice like that. Ain't nobody going to Florida. It's okay. But don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Because ain't nobody going to Miami either.
What you mean?
So one of the major sponsors, I'm sorry, the donor for one of their major NILs is Life Wallet. Mm-hmm. Life Wallet put a lot of their, I guess, stock options into that NIL. Yeah. Why are they stock worthless? And it's not like this is the first time. This is the third time that some institutional donor has given them either a Ponzi scheme money or funding money. And if this was FAMU, oh, we would be having a whole different conversation. This would be national news. This would be all over everywhere. But because it's Miami, we ain't talking about it. Because Life While it being broke, it's hilarious. The bootskins, I'm sorry, the Ibis people being tied to Life Wallet is even better. If you know, like I know, yes, a lot of donors do give stock options, annuities, their trust. They give a lot of those things. But rarely do those things collapse in such a manner. Also, Miami is a private institution. They don't go through the scrutiny that a state institution goes through. There are checks and balances that have to be gone through. You ain't just going to give the university money unless you show up with cash. Then it's no questions asked. You know, if you know some enterprising young brother on the streets want to donate, you know, $4 million to FAMU, it's all good. No questions asked. I probably shouldn't have said that online, but it's either way, it's fine. It's gonna be great. All right, we're gonna take one last commercial break, and then we will be back. So I'm literally crying from laughing at this so bad. I don't even know where I was going.
Shout out to Ash for standing on business. His summer welcome to summer present. Black Forces.
Woo. Oh no, I got some.
No,
I'm gonna get Ash the Forces that I got. Yeah. The snake skin Black Forces with the orange bottoms. I got you, Ash. Yeah. What size he is? Because he getting them.
I think he had a 7 or 8 right now. Listen. Yeah,
he getting them.
Listen.
Great suggestion, TP. Yes.
Yes, sir.
He definitely getting them.
Stand on business.
I'ma
engraved under the tongue.
I'ma show you how they look.
Embroidered under the tongue. Stand on business.
Let's just find out what his size is. This phone call is a risk. This is what you call.
And he doing it. And you doing it live.
Hey, quick question. What shoe size is Ash? Because Marlo is going to get him some snake skin Rattler Air Force Ones.
Yes, sir.
He getting them.
He what size is he? Oh, dear Father God. Remember when I said you this is...
First of all, you interrupted me eating my fucking french fries, and that's rude and disrespectful. Let's get that out of the way. Number two.
What?
I want to say a 5
feet. What happened?
I think it was 5 was the last time I bought that shoe.
DP so dying, like, said something good just happened. What happened?
Well, you listening?
I am listening to you, Melissa, and sweet, so is podcast.
Sweet baby Jesus, what just happened? This has got to be podcast gold.
You don't interrupt a woman when she's eating french fries. Lesson learned today.
Exactly.
I don't think I will ever live that down. Ever live that down. So... It has been a very interesting 2020 vote. I saw Jackson State win the Black National Championship. I saw Grambling State win a baseball championship while me and other people were going back and forth about whether or not FAMU or that school in Daytona was going to win. It's been a year. It's been an absolute year. But the best part of this year was I got to show Ash a lot of HBCU sports through my eyes. And so for that, I'm very thankful. I'm glad I was able to do that. I'm glad you guys allowed me through this platform the opportunity to show him the things that I had always known my whole life. So for that, I'm thankful. For everybody here at Fat Mouth Sports, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We will possibly do a Thursday show. I will let everybody know. But if we don't, Happy New Year. We'll see you on the other side. TP, what you got for us?
I just want to say, you know, it has been a blessing to, you know, talk to y'all on this weekly basis, you know, to be able to share my thoughts, you know, my feelings towards sports and, you know, whatever other subject may come. You know, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. You know, I hope that, you know, the plans that you set for the new year come to fruition. You know, I talked to my wife earlier, you know, our word for the year going forward is intentional. You have to be intentional in your decisions, intentional with the way that you move and things that you do. And, you know, the sentiment is always to be successful. So however success looks to you, I hope that you're able to achieve the goals that you set. And when you achieve those goals, don't stop there. Set more goals and more goals after that. We were put on this earth to go forth, prosper, and multiply. And that means that you have to want to be successful. You have to want to prosper. You have to want to do these things that we were put on this planet to do. If you have a gift, use it. You know, I always talk about the story of the man with the gifts. But all of that has to be intentional. And that's just, you know, bottom line. Because you can't want to succeed without action. So understand that plans have to be made. And then action has to be put towards them plans. So thank y'all for a wonderful year. I look forward to everything that we got planned that's going forward with Fat Mouth Sports and the Gathering of Old Men podcast going into the future. We still haven't had a chance to do our live podcast, but it's coming. gonna make my way to Florida. And me, Troy, Marlo, hopefully we can get DK down there. We're gonna sit down in the same room and we're gonna talk our shit. And it's gonna be a great time. So, you know, but with that, thank y'all. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday, Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate this year, I hope it's amazing. And I look forward to everything that we got going forward.
Well, for everybody at Fat Mouth Sports, thank you for watching. We are out.
He just had too much loft on his players. Loft. Lack of fucking talent.
You know, they tell me everything I need to know. But,
you know,
the NFC South is definitely a competitive division. It's competitive between three very mediocre teams.
Like, I feel an attack right now. I just feel.
No, CP, we got that. It's all wrong.
I don't even think that was a compliment.
Marlo, there was a game in which your quarterback blatantly missed wide open receivers down the middle of the field.
Well, first of all, in his defense, I'm not going to say blatantly. He just had too much loft on his pass.
He had too much
loft. Lack of fucking talent.